Now, Wisconsin Public Radio has invited candidates who are running in contested primaries for statewide office and congressional seats to join us for interviews on Central Time and the Morning Show. You can find all of those interviews at wisconsinvote.org. Today, we continue our interviews with candidates for governor. There's a contested primary for both Republicans and Democrats. Today, we talked to Kelda Royce. She's a small business owner, former state representative, and attorney. She's running in the Democratic primary. Kelda Royce, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be with you, Rob.
We'll start off with your elevator pitch. What would you tell someone in the length of an elevator ride about why you're running for governor?
I'm running for governor because I want Wisconsin to be a place of opportunity and fairness again. I think our state can be the best place to raise a family and the best place to grow a business. And we need a governor who's more focused on solving our common challenges than dividing people.
And how do you see your experience in business as a former state representative as a good background for someone running for governor?
Well, certainly I have executive experience, and prior to my service in the legislature, I ran a statewide organization focused on women's health advocacy, NARAL Pro-Choice Wisconsin. But I've got the track record of actually turning our progressive ideas into real results for Wisconsin families. As a state legislator, I helped expand access to health care, affordable coverage to over 80,000 Wisconsinites. I worked on issues like early childhood education, health and safety for kids, protecting our environment. And that's the kind of experience, actually passing legislation and getting things done, that we need in our next governor.
Looking at the job situation in Wisconsin, Governor Walker can point toward very low unemployment rates here in the state. Why would Wisconsinites want to change from him to you or any of your Democratic colleagues?
Well, if you actually talk to the people around this state, as I have over the past several months, you realize that a lot of folks may be working 2, 3, 4 jobs and yet still unable to make ends meet. You know, the majority of the new jobs that are coming online into our economy are not good family-supporting jobs that have benefits, but they're low-wage jobs that don't actually pay enough to allow people to live. So we need to do much more to increase access to good jobs, jobs that you can use to sustain yourself. And that's why, as a small business owner, I'm so passionate about making Wisconsin a place where people can earn good wages and people can start and grow small businesses.
At a policy level, how do you try to do that, boost wages and boost small business growth?
Well, we can certainly raise the minimum wage. That's an important thing that many other states have done, and that helps our economy by putting more money in the pockets of workers, especially the lowest paid workers. But we also need to stop doing these corporate welfare deals, whether it's Foxconn or the way that the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation has been used as a slush fund. Instead, we need to make it easier for small business owners, and I'm talking about anybody from a family farmer to somebody opening a cafe on Main Street to somebody with an innovative idea for a tech company, to be able to get capital to start that business or expand, hire people, and get technical assistance so that first-time entrepreneurs, especially people who might not have been able to get a traditional bank loan or don't have mentors out there who can help them, can actually pursue their dream.
You mentioned the Foxconn incentive package. If elected as governor, what would your approach be to Foxconn?
Well, I think we need to be as responsible and strategic in getting ourselves out of that terrible deal and mitigating its worst effects as we were irresponsible and Walker was selfish in getting into the Foxconn deal. I think part of the strategy is certainly using the Great Lakes Compact to protect our Great Lakes water. We need to oppose the air pollution that is going to be coming out of the Foxconn deal, as well as the eminent domain abuses. I actually had the opportunity to go and meet with Kim and Jim Mahoney and see the home that they spent 9 years saving for and building, and after living there less than a year, they were told they were going to have to make way for Foxconn. So we need to have a governor who understands the not just the economic cost to taxpayers, but also the human cost, and is willing to fight for protections that address the needs of taxpayers as well as homeowners and our environment.
Talking to Kelda Royce about her campaign for governor in the Democratic primary. Before you face Governor Walker, you've got 7 other people running as Democrats in this primary. How do you distinguish yourself from this crowded field?
Well, it's a great question. We've got seven great people running, but I am the strongest candidate to beat Scott Walker, and really that's what this is about. If we want to take Wisconsin in a new direction, we need to have someone who can win. We have built a strong strategic campaign with great grassroots volunteers and donors all over the state. We've excited the Democratic base voters that we need to win, and we're reaching the younger voters, Gen Xers, millennials, folks in their 40s and 30s and 20s who don't vote as frequently as baby boomers, but they are going to show up for our campaign, and that's how we're going to win in November. We also need someone who is running a smart and strategic campaign, and there's a reason why national leaders like Emily's List, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, and the nation's perhaps foremost public education advocate, Diane Ravitch, are all backing my campaign, because they understand that I'm the strongest candidate to beat Walker, and they know what's at stake.
And speaking of education, what would your priorities be when it comes to schools in Wisconsin?
Well, we got to make sure that our public dollars are funding public education, not continuing to subsidize private schools. We also need to make sure that we're restoring the funding that's been cut under Governor Walker, and that the funding is equitably distributed. Right now, we've got a funding formula that really deprives our urban and rural schools of the resources they need, because it's based on an archaic formula using property taxes, and that needs to change. Because wherever I am in Wisconsin, whether it's, you know, the north side of Milwaukee or the North Woods, people understand that we are not making the investments we need to in our public schools.
And how about the voucher program in Wisconsin?
Well, I think we have had a failed 27-year experiment with a voucher program. We now know that voucher schools perform no better, and in a lot of cases, they actually perform worse than our public schools. And we really can't afford to be experimenting on kids anymore. So we need to bring that program to a responsible end. We're not going to displace any of the kids who are currently in their voucher schools in Milwaukee and Racine. Those are longstanding programs. But we are going to give those schools an option to become public charter schools that are overseen and accountable to a local elected school board. And we're going to not allow any new voucher students to be going into these schools, because we just can't keep underfunding two separate school systems.
One big point of contention in state budgets every couple of years comes to road funding, transportation and infrastructure spending, and how to pay for road maintenance and construction in Wisconsin. Would you be open to promoting things like increased user fees, increases in the gas tax, or toll roads?
Yeah, we need an adult in the driver's seat here. And I actually have a comprehensive plan for this and all the other issues we've discussed on my website, which is keldaforgovernor.com, if listeners want to learn more about the details. But we need a long-term transportation and infrastructure plan. I do think we need a modest adjustment in the gas tax, including reindexing it to inflation. I also think we should look at high-capacity fees on these commercial vehicles, like the trucks that carry mined frac sand up and down our roadways, because they're really the ones that are destroying the roads at a much faster rate than just ordinary passenger vehicles. But we also need to look at infrastructure like transit, public transit, including a high-speed rail link between Chicago and the Twin Cities that should run through Wisconsin. We also need to look at broadband connectivity throughout the state. So there's a lot of investments that we need to be making, and if we're going to do that, we have to stop making irresponsible fiscal decisions like putting basic road maintenance on the credit card.
We're talking to Kelda Royce about her campaign for governor in the Democratic primary, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What question do you have for the candidate? Do you want to hear her take on a particular issue? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Kelda Royce is with us. We're talking about her campaign in the Democratic primary for governor of Wisconsin. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What question do you have for Kelda Royce? What issue do you want to hear her weigh in on? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. To your calls now, Sherry is on the line in Mequon. Sherry, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to ask about?
I want to ask what her take on legalizing marijuana is, and if she is for it, what are the steps that she's going to take to make sure it's legal?
Sherry, thanks for the call. Kelderoys?
Yes, I do think the time has come to legalize cannabis, both for medicinal purposes and also for adult recreational use. I think we can look at what's happened in other states and see that they've had an influx of tax revenue, which is great and important, and a decrease in opioid overdose deaths, which is also very important. And given the fact that Wisconsin really desperately needs criminal justice reform and we have some of the worst racial disparities in the nation, legalizing cannabis is a good first step to addressing that issue.
Sherry, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Owen in Wauwega. Owen, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call, Rob. Kelda, I just wanted to tell you, I think you got a lot of great ideas, and I hope that this can go somewhere for you. One of the questions I have is this. I'm a young beginning dairy farmer in the state of Wisconsin, and as you well know, we're facing a lot of economic disparity right now at this time. I'm continuing to watch the larger corporate farms around me continue to expand in an already oversupplied milk market where the milk values are diminishing based on oversupply. As a result of this, they're continuing to hire labor who are not eligible voters. What are we going to do to help these people who are working for these farmers become voters and participate in democracy and also have the ability to work in other businesses and other occupations or continue to farm on their own at their own farms as voters? What are we going to do to restore democracy to the people and bring back a constitutional rights for people who actually are farming land and feeding this nation?
Owen, thanks for the call. So a lot there, Kelderoys, helping small
yes.
farmers and concern about immigrant workers on larger farms.
Yes. Well, I've heard from farmers all over the state, including, you know, up northern Wisconsin, where I spent my time as a little girl, to right here in Dane County, where I represented farmers and ag in the legislature, that we have made it so easy for large corporate farms to pollute our water and air, and that just exacerbates the financial struggles for our smaller family farmers, which is a much more sustainable farming model. So if we want to preserve our rural heritage, our tradition as the dairy state with family farmers, we have got to make it more economically feasible for smaller family farmers to compete. You know, on the second issue of immigration, you're right. We need to treat the human beings who are coming here to work with dignity and respect. And I have never hesitated to stand up to the racism of Donald Trump's administration and the bigotry. I also called out Scott Walker for going along with Trump's request for National Guard troops from Wisconsin to go help abet his immoral family separation policy at the border. So as governor, I certainly support making sure that our undocumented workers have access to driver's cards so that they can do driver's ed and be insured and be safe on the roadway as we all deserve to be. I also support making sure that we protect our dreamers and offer them in-state tuition at our universities. And, you know, ultimately we need to make sure that people in our state, whatever their documentation status is, are treated with respect. We need comprehensive immigration reform that recognizes the realities of our economy and, you know, protects our small business owners and entrepreneurs from predatory practices by big business.
Owen, thanks for that call. We're talking to Kelderoys about her campaign for governor. She's in the Democratic primary. You can join in with your question for her at 800-642-1234. We go now to Ann in Madison. Ann, hi.
I read that you were for free technical college.
Is that okay? Ann, your line is breaking up, but it sounds like she's asking about your plan for free technical college education. Kelderoys, can you talk about that?
Yes, I think this is really important. And this is one area where I disagree with my friend Tony Evers, because I think that we need to have the doors of higher education open to everyone. And using a last dollar tuition credit program really makes this affordable for state taxpayers. And if you look at other states that have done this, they have seen the number of first-generation college students and students of color skyrocketing because
when younger people think it's too expensive, I won't be able to afford it, they don't even apply to college. And we need to make sure that they know that it's an option for them. And so for that reason, I think it's really important that we not only make two-year technical colleges free for students so that they apply, but we also need to address the student loan debt crisis that affects nearly 900,000 Wisconsinites who have already gone to college.
Thanks for that call, Ann. We'll go to Scott now in Chippewa Falls. Scott, hello.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. My question is, I'm a small business owner, and I am not excited about the Foxconn deal because it'll create jobs in southern Wisconsin, but I'm in the northern part of the state, and I'm wondering, when a big deal like this goes through, the cash flow that flows to some one percenter, so I'm getting hit twice. I'm being taxed to pay for this big project to go in that's going to, make an economy good for a few people in the southern part of the state and hurt all the rest of us, and then the money will go to some one percenters. Is there any way to find out where that money is heading?
Calderoy's?
Well, that's a very important question. That is one reason why we need to make sure we have a governor who's going to take a multi-pronged approach to the Foxconn deal. And as a small business owner myself, I know exactly how you're feeling. It's like a slap in the face because we're going to be paying to line the pockets of a, foreign corporation worth billions and billions of dollars. And, we are here investing in our communities, growing businesses, employing people, and, not getting much love. So we do need to have real accountability and know where the funds are going. That's one of the major problems with this deal. But just imagine, if you think about Wisconsin, we're a big state. We have 72 counties. If you took $3 billion, the cost of the incentive package that we're giving to Foxconn, and you said, we're going to take that, and instead of just giving it all to one corporation in one part of the state, instead we're going to give it to 30,000 businesses. We're going to give them $100,000 each. And we're going to make sure that it's evenly distributed around the state. That would mean, on average, each county would have over 400 new businesses with $100,000 in capital. Now, I'm not necessarily suggesting that we do it exactly like that, but it just gives you a sense of what the possibilities are. We could also be investing that money in education. We could also be investing that money in broadband connectivity and transit and roads. There are a lot of good things that we could spend that money on that would have a much greater economic impact on every part of the state, and it would actually benefit folks like you who are running a small business and paying your taxes.
Scott, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Max is on the line now in Manitowoc. Max, hi.
Hey, this is going to be a smaller issue, but I feel it's really important to me and my generation. I'm a millennial, and as you are aware of, the FCC had repealed the net neutrality laws. And as far as I know, our governor currently has been kind of mum about the situation. So if you're elected as our governor, would you follow suit, as other states have, to enforce that net neutrality at the state level?
Yes, that's my question. Yes, I definitely would. I definitely would, Max. And this is something I've been concerned about for many years. The Internet is, in many ways, a utility that's just as essential to modern life as electrification was in the last century. So we need a governor who understands that and understands the economic impact of people being able to access the content that they want, not only to be connected to high-speed Internet, but then to be able to make sure that their Internet service provider isn't slowing down certain disfavored content and almost functioning as a censor by making some content load more quickly or more slowly. So that is definitely an important issue. And I think it's great that that you called, Max, because baby boomers in our state vote very consistently. But unfortunately, Democrats don't win if we don't get the votes of younger folks showing up, of Generation X folks like me and millennials like you, Max. The way we win elections is by having a candidate that people get excited about and are ready to go to the polls and vote for someone, rather than just having a candidate that younger voters feel is ho-hum or doesn't really speak to issues that are important, like paid family leave or affordable child care or student loan debt or climate change or any of the concerns that I hear a lot from younger voters. So thanks for calling.
Thanks for the call, Max. Briefly, as we wrap up, one possible outcome is a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature. If you were a Democratic governor in that situation, could you work with Republicans to get stuff done?
Absolutely. And I think this is one thing that really sets me apart. I have a long history of getting things done, working not just with Democrats, but in reaching across the aisle. When I was the head of NARAL Pro-Choice Wisconsin, I helped pass the first pro-choice law in a generation in the state, even though the assembly was at that time controlled by an anti-choice Republican majority. I know how to reach across the aisle and get things done. And, of course, I'll certainly be working to elect Democrats to the legislature and make sure that we have fair maps that are not gerrymandered so voters can choose their elected officials. But I'm very confident that I'll be able to make positive change for Wisconsin families, regardless of who's in control in the legislature.
Calderoys, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be with you.
Calderoys is running for governor as a Democrat. Madison Mayor Paul Soglin, who's also running for governor as a Democrat, joins us at this time tomorrow. Profiles of all the Democratic and Republican candidates for governor can be found at WPR.org/governor. We'll still be doing more of these candidate interviews in races for governor and Congress this week on the Ideas Network.